Did any of you read the article in the Morning News this morning about curiosity?
Yeah.
The psychiatrist made a point that's interesting. He said the basis the basis of curiosity is insecurity.
Why is that?
The basis is what?
The basis of curiosity. You know, I mean, we've said really that there's no such thing as laziness. There's really no such thing as curiosity. Both of them are reflections of another condition.
Right.
But in terms of curiosity, the psychiatrist made a point, and it blew my mind, and because I see that it's right, that the basis of curiosity is insecurity. And in effect, shows that, you know, all things are of God. I mean, and the reason is because because of insecurity, we have to know, we have to push the limits. And so therefore, without the insecurity, we couldn't push the limits, we couldn't come to the end, we couldn't find the life. And, you know, that's why it's so important that, I don't know how to say this, that we never get locked in to doctrine, that we never get locked in to Christian stuff, that if we ever leave the path of curiosity, and the thing that has to go with curiosity is being satisfied with nothing less than truth. And if therefore we as a body or you as individuals ever leave that quest, then you can't by definition be a believer. In other words, because what you'll do is you'll trade somebody, I forget who it was, said that he who loves his church more than he that puts his church before truth will end up putting his sect before his church and will end up putting himself before all. I mean, it's an inexorable path that you get on. If you ever leave the quest for truth and stop in the name of Jesus or in the name of Christianity or something, and then you will, by definition, you will denigrate, you'll fall down, you'll go down farther, you'll go down to your sect, and then you'll eventually leave it all for the sake of self. And I was just blown away that the psychiatrist had found out that the basis of curiosity was insecurity. And the insecurity is the driving force which God uses to find truth, to conform us to the image of Christ. It was a neat deal for me.
Is there such a thing as a person who's not curious about something?
Yeah. And that it's those people that are, the Bible calls, in sloth. They've fallen asleep in life.
You know,
this thing about God using insecurity, it jives with, oh my God, you've tricked me. It jives with line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, forward and fall backward and be snared. I mean, he does the same thing with self-preservation, self-seeking.
Right.
It drives us on and is transformed.
Amen. Anyway, Exodus 37.
I want to say something. I always kind of have things going on, but I never say anything about what's going on. But there's a lot of stuff going on right now. The company is still doing kind of weird. You know, we're not making money, and I'm working real hard full time. You know, I'm not enjoying it. I kind of almost cut my thumb head off today, working up in the heat. You know, all this stuff, but it's actually more satisfying than the other stuff I was doing before, but still everything's kind of to a place now where it's almost like the potential to do something else is there. We've got a lot of jobs that are coming up, and we still have to get out of the hole and make money. But the inside, this whole thing is churning, because I kind of feel I would rather do something else, because when I'm working with Cornerstone, I feel like I'm in a slot. I give so much to what I'm doing that I don't have anything left for anything. And it's almost like this has presented an opportunity to really look around, try and figure out something. Maybe just another approach to what's going on. Obviously, I don't have words to express what's happening right now.
The thing that always comes up when they in this arena is, well, what shall I do? And so you go through the process of the do stuff, and you find out that none of the do stuff works. I mean, you know, you could go out and change your job and find 50,000 things, the different ways of doing things. Harry could go out and
you mean do promote, to make it better or take the pain,
you know, whatever. You could do something. You could do something.
Do something logical. Do any rational.
But the only thing God wants you to do, and John and I talked about it, we had lunch or brunch or something today, was God wants you to be rid of your poverty consciousness. And we've talked about this for years. We've never known what it means. Every one of you in here, except maybe one or two, which I'm not going to point out which ones, are, from God's standpoint, fools. Because your mind still is in poverty.
Define poverty, please.
Lack in anyone.
It's called the leaven of Herod in the scriptures. And it means, poverty simply means to see lack, to acknowledge lack. And it's the leaven that leavens the whole lump.
But it's not just a material thing.
No, of course not. But it's, God has to renew that consciousness. That's all He's doing. Now, I can't tell you how, in many ways, the problem is, in many ways, I have been to you a role model for the poverty consciousness. Because you think that, I mean, you know, I live
you
real...
You can trust in God and get to be like him.
Well, no, what you do is you think that there's some righteousness, subconsciously, in having nothing. And so you're in this battle between the real battle has nothing to do with material or not material. A real battle has to do with self-righteousness or not self-righteousness. But somehow your poverty consciousness is connected to a sense of your own righteousness, no matter how sick that sounds. And I don't know if I'm communicating what I'm trying to say. If you're using me as a role model in this arena, remember that I am living like I am voluntarily and desiring to. I mean, I made a decision, a choice, not to have anything. Now, that doesn't make it righteous, not righteous. It doesn't mean anything to you. It only means that if you think that is righteous while the other part of you is going another direction, then you are in reality in Mitzrayim, which is Egypt. You're in duality. And God wants us to be in a different mindset. And that's the renewal of the mind that's taking place. It has nothing to do with... It's simple. I mean, the difference between me and you is when I look, I never see lack. And I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. Do you understand? I can't remember the last time that I looked and saw lack. I mean, I think that concept is impossible in my mind. To look to see that I needed something. I don't care whether it's knowledge about the Bible. I don't need any knowledge about the Bible. I don't care whether it's money. I don't need any money. I don't care whether it's a place to live. I don't need any place to live. I don't care whether it's books. I don't need any books. There is no way in my mind that I see lack.
About sex, like that.
It's not a lack. It's not a need. It has nothing to do with... I can't explain it. My mind did something magical about 15 years ago. Or maybe, no, it was later than that. It was about the time the body formed. That I no longer saw lack. It's impossible to see need if you're in the body of Christ.
In yourself.
Right. Well, and in others, I mean, no, but I see in you all that you still see, you understand, it's not, you still see need. That's the leaven of Herod. And Jesus just sorely wipe the disciples out for it. Let's look at it. Matthew 8. Mark 8. My mind is right.
Mark
8. Am I making sense to anybody?
Mark.
It's the hare-lipped dog.
The hare-lipped dog.
Mark. Mark 8, verse 14. Okay, they were in a ship, right? They're running around in a ship. It's a good illustration. And now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." Remember, the leaven of the Pharisees has to do with what? Transparency. If you in any way are a hypocrite, you're not transparent. Now, part and parcel of that, if you have the leaven of Herod, you see lack. You have a poverty consciousness. And my point is, as long as you have that consciousness, God could give you $25 billion and you would still see lack. You understand that? It doesn't matter what you... God's only function in dealing with you in this arena is to change the way that you view life. To view life as a legitimate son, the heir. Not as the bastard who is cut off in the will. Okay. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." Right? It's because we have no money. It's because we have no job. It's because we have no whatever.
Why would they have said that in response to what he said?
Because they didn't bring any bread with them.
But what does the bread have to do with take heed, beware of the leaven?
Because that's the only part of the... He just got through berating them a little while earlier over the leaven of the Pharisees, and they thought it was yeast and all this kind of stuff.
They just didn't know what he was talking about.
What is it? It is because we have no bread. His chastisement of him?
Because what he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod.
We're saying he's chastised.
That it, chastisement, is because we have no bread.
Okay.
Right. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason, and I love that one, just think about it. Why reason? Why sit around and figure it out? Why sit around and figure out how I can do this or that? Why sit around and reason how you can be prudent?
Because they went to the teacher, they got the answer, and then they said, "Well, he's just got mystical on us again."
Yeah,
he said some bullshit.
Right.
And so we still don't have any bread.
Right. Right.
There he goes
again on one of his tangents.
Which happens here all the time.
It happens here every night.
They would say that,
Judy. Okay, you understand the setup. They're in the boat. What? Judy's not well. Okay. And when Jesus knew it, when they were reasoning among themselves, he saith unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Because you have no job, because you have no joy, because you have no faith, because you have no money, because you have no anything. Why reason ye? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Perceive ye not yet, neither ye understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do you not yet remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And he said, how is it that you do not understand? It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to need anything. So what in the hell's going on? You're sitting in the boat, you don't got any bread, you're hungry. What's going on? They were in the boats. They couldn't bake any bread. They couldn't get any grain. They couldn't. And it's a great parable because in the midst of it, they couldn't lean on their own arm of understanding. That's why Israel is in the desert, wherever the map is in the desert now, in the wilderness for this particular part of the trip, because in the desert it's impossible to lean on your own arm of understanding to satisfy a particular desire that you have, or a need, or an apparent need that you have. They're in the boat here. They can't do anything about it. It's the perfect place. In the desert, you can do nothing about it. In the boat, you could do nothing about it. And in your position, you can do nothing about it. Okay, well, that means, okay, I'm going to just sit here and wait on God. If you sit there and wait on God with your present mindset, you'll starve to death. If you sit there and wait on God in the wilderness, you will die from the heat. If you sit there and wait on God with your family responsibilities, your family will die of starvation. Because you're sitting and waiting with the mind of a Gentile. Have you been so long? Have you heard so much? You've got eyes, you've seen, you've got ears, you've heard, and you still have the mind of a Gentile. Oh, I'm just waiting on God. And I'll watch your bones in about 40 days.
I don't understand the difference in this situation between having the mind of the Gentile.
Well, obviously, neither does anybody else.
You're sitting around saying, okay, I lack things, so I'm going to sit and wait for God to give it to me instead of saying, or seeing that you don't need anything, that everything you have is what you need.
What's the secret?
But instead of demanding to be shown that, you know.
Command ye him this day. There's not one of you that has the guts to command God. There's only one thing that God lets you command him about. One thing. Command ye him this day the things concerning my son. You can't understand the scriptures until you understand what I've just said to you in the last few minutes. Nowhere will you be able to read with understanding if you don't understand this simple thing that I've just said to you.
Now, what did you mean about you being a pernicious role model?
Well, because if you, I mean, because I apparently make no effort.
But those years when you were idle, or apparently idle, you were working.
Right. I was commanding him concerning the things concerning his son. I said to God, I commanded God. I mean, the things I'm telling you about this, I'm telling you, I'm begging you, I'm anything you want to say you, that you can sit here in the Bible study and abide the rest of your life, and you will die and you will be gone and forgotten forever. You can come here and hang around every night because you find something that tickles your ears and causes you intellectual stimulation, and sit around and wait for the rest of your life, and you will die. Because the leaven of Herod will so permeate your being, it's just like a yeast infection in your body. When the pH balance of your body is off, your body becomes one big yeast infection in your mouth and your vagina and your penis and your anus and everything else. This body has a yeast infection, serious one.
If I don't see that, and there's a bunch of people out there freaked out and trying to show me everything I lack.
They're trying to seduce you to bring you back to Egypt.
And it's almost working.
Yeah.
And I hate it.
It's supposed to almost work.
Yeah, they're going to give it hell.
It's supposed to almost work. But okay, now, but the point is, it's worked for a whole bunch of you. Well, it's supposed to. You're supposed to. Your enemies are going to be those of your own household.
But when this issue of lack comes up, we're always quick to say, but it's not limited to money. You're talking about other things, you know. And it's true.
But money is the test.
It's true, but money is the easiest one, you know. And then after that, there's lack in your health and lack in spirit, and there are other things, but we don't ever get past money. We don't ever get past the easiest one.
Man,
there's never been a feeling of abundance of money here.
I think that there's some of you that don't even know what I'm talking about.
I still don't understand.
I want to understand. It feels like it's kind of just pounding up against this wall in my mind,
this is another one of those things that is so totally different from everything you've ever known that it takes a miracle to see it.
I have a question. I'm trying to understand if there isn't. If I'm not combining two things somehow here. In the past, you know, we've talked about Doug needs a job. Is that seeing lack to say Doug needs a job? Or is there some place in here where you can see a need without giving it any breath that's not called seeing lack? Have I totally lost it?
Remember I told you that the differences between the prayer, the types of prayer, is the prayer of the child, prayer of the adolescent, the prayer of the young man, the prayer of the father. How you pray, how you think, and again, remember, all that prayer means is to think about stuff. How you think about stuff. Well, there's natural mind. Natural mind tries to pray all the time, but we don't. He tries to do it because, but his natural, the prayer of the natural mind is leaning on your own armor of understanding. What is the prayer of the child?
Well, I know that one well. My kids do. I want.
Prayer of the child is begging.
Give me some money.
Prayer of the child is begging.
Never shut.
What's the prayer? Well, actually, the prayer of the child, let's put it another way. The prayer of the child, the small child, is asking. The prayer of the adolescent is begging. The prayer of the young man is anticipating. And the prayer of the father is affirming. Now, from God's standpoint, anything other than the prayer of the Father is the leaven of Herod. In every arena of your life.
Could the same arena be in each one of those positions? I mean, could the same need be in each one of those positions?
It's the same obvious situation. It's exactly the same situation. The natural mind will sit down and say, okay, how do I get some? What can I do? The natural mind is cause and effect. The child is asking. The adolescent, desperation begging. The young man is affirming or anticipating. The father is affirming. The father The Father position literally speaks it into existence. He calls forth that which is nothing, apparently, into something. No matter how weird this may sound to you, outside of time, if we looked at this time, I called forth this body by a word.
Well, I fail to see how you're answering Tom's question about Doug's situation about the job.
That is an answer. He's saying that for those who can see, Doug already has a job, and you just affirm it.
You call it forth. You in your mind there is. There's no doubt, there's no wavering back and forth. You're seeing singly.
Okay.
And you've affirmed it. It exists.
It doesn't matter when it actually comes about.
The thing I don't
you can affirm
see.
It in the you can affirm it. That's you understand. Again, the keys to the mystery of heaven, the keys to the temple have been given to you and I. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall have already been bound on in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall already have been loosed in heaven. If you could for a moment understand the power that's available to you, then this, what I'm talking about tonight, would make sense.
What you're saying, if I understand correctly, is the Father, or the prayer of the Father, there's no, well, will I get it, maybe I'll get it, when will I get it, it's just, that's it.
It's as instantaneous, it's seen, it's once it's seen, it's filled. Once it's seen, it's met. That's what 1 John 5 is all about, for those of you who feel like reading it. If you know that he's heard, then you know that he's then it's already fulfilled. It's already completed. And this is going to get pretty sticky. It gets pretty heavy duty. If only two of us, if the scriptures are correct, were in agreement on one issue, that time was at an end. If one of you says to that mountain, be cast into the sea, do you think Jesus was kidding when he was saying that?
It's like the time continues because two of us are not in agreement.
Brain of doubt that you can't move that mountain into the sea and it won't be done.
If you ask wavering, if you ask double-minded, then you're asking in Egypt.
Sounds so much like Catch 22.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Question is, how do you get there from here?
It looks to me like the father position has to be able to see that. I mean, you can't affirm.
I couldn't teach you. It, by definition, it's impossible for me to teach from any other position than the Father position.
That's fine. But you're talking about. Well, you made this statement a short time ago that if, you know, that the people who are seeing lack and they die tonight, that's all over. Well, what's all this Dr. Doom stuff? I mean, I don't understand this. There are four positions. Everybody belongs somewhere. I don't belong somewhere.
You belong nowhere except the Father position.
Okay.
At a time when you should be teaching others, you still have need that someone would teach you.
Okay, then tell me this. Is it necessary to see it in order to affirm it? How do you know what you're affirming is valid? How can I tell Doug, you have a job when I can't see that he has a job?
I'm going to go to Hebrews 5.
Well, that's what I'm asking him.
Hebrews 5. What is this rustling of pages I hear? Hebrews 5, verse 6. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, and though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. This is all talking about Christ, obviously. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But the strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now from God's standpoint, this is God's good or evil. It's not what we think is good or evil. But it's by reason of use. In other words, you've been out on the firing line, you've tested it. You've proven it. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Does that ever scare you a little bit? It's interesting, when you hear sermons about this, Hebrews 6:1, they say, okay, now we're going to leave, I'm going to preach on this. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying out of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. Okay, now the first thing we're going to cover in this sermon is repentance from dead works. Then next week we're going to cover faith toward God and what it means. And then the next week we're going to cover baptisms. The next week, the laying on of hands. I have never heard a preacher preach about leaving the first principles of the doctrine of Christ that didn't then enter into a preachment on the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. God intends that you tonight would be in the Father position. And if you are satisfied with anything less, then you're not worthy to be in the kingdom of God. Command you him this night things concerning his son. If you wait another day, it may be too late. Unless you have that sense of urgency, you have no business here and you have no business with God. And if I scared you, I hope so. If you've been sitting around eating tables off the floor when the seat is prepared for you at the banquet table, you're a goddamn fool. You know, you understand that when the hardest thing that I can say will no longer put you on a trip, will no longer cause you to question, then your senses will have been exercised by use.
Amen. That is what you were saying. That is?
Yeah.
I said it a little more clearly than that. I understand. Well, the point of what you're saying is to make us question and examine it. And
if it can be done, that's the point.
The subject of tonight's sermon is that the leaven of Herod would be dispelled from the body. How is leaven dispelled? How do we dispel the leaven of the Pharisees during the feast of Passover?
Search it.
You speak it, and it's burned in the fire. And then there's a prayer that goes with it. It says, Lord, within my household all the leaven that I have not seen, that has been hidden from me, is declared null and void as the dust of the earth. Now, if any of you see or sense vis-a-vis the spotlight that has been shown in your house, vis-a-vis what's been said, then speak it.
I have been going around like crazy, making all these little decisions and stuff, and doing all my little stuff, and leaning on my own a long time. It's like, I have really, in the last couple of years, starting in the last couple of years of my marriage, and through the breakdown of that, and then the last year and a half that I've been single, I have just been, you know, so conditioning myself to be strong and self-efficient and in charge and in control and decisive all the time, that I just don't know how to not lean on my own arm. It's like, to me, it's been a big deal to be real strong, and I've, you know, like, I feel like I'm capable of taking over whenever there's somebody, when there's a lot of confusion, I feel like I can step in and be decisive and stuff. And it's like, I view that as good, as real good. But I also know that that's contradictory to our doctrine and that how God would rather me be, you know, and I want to be what God wants me. I mean, I want to be of use to God, you know, on His terms. But I don't know how to do that or how to allow that to happen to me, you know. And
the secret is, it's not just lean not on your own arm of understanding. There's a previous sentence. It says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and lean not on your own arm of understanding. In other words, all you have to see is that you have never done anything without that wasn't Jesus. And in that, you acknowledge Him in all your way. You don't have to change anything.
Just be what you are now.
Without Him, you can do nothing, you have done nothing, and you will do nothing.
So does that mean that I can continue being as strong and decisive as I care to be as long as I'm acknowledging
Christ? He's directing your past.
Christ is doing it to me.
Amen.
Because that makes sense. Because it seems like what I've been hearing in this group is like...
Be a weak wind.
More or less, yeah. You know, it's like...
No, it's just
a, it
it's just a fact. God, you don't have to worry about being weak. It'll be revealed. And in the revelation, you don't dwell on that weakness. You immediately, which is lack, your mind immediately reverts to the sufficiency of God. I mean, I don't want to turn charismatic on you all, but it's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His pleasure to give you joy. It's His pleasure that you would, but it's His pleasure that all these things would have come to pass so that nothing can affect it. And so that's why you've gone through the various stages of experience. I'm not sorry we've taught anything or anything I've ever taught. It's all necessary. But I'm telling you, I mean, why did it take us 7 years before we started studying what it meant to have the leaven of, what the leaven of Herod was? I mean, we didn't study that till last Passover, if you remember. My point, I just want you to respond because we're on a trek. The place we are in the tabernacle in those readings now is we're building the ark. That's the next thing, the next reading in 1 Kings 37. When we're building the ark and we see the ark completed, and we see that that ark is completed within us, and we know that all power in heaven and earth is inside that ark, and that ark is within us, then it's impossible to ever again see the leaven of Herod. To see lack, to have poverty consciousness. That's why we're doing the cycle. That's why that's why we're going through the pathway. It took them 38 years, but it was only intended to take them a few short months to go from Egypt to the promise. We can learn from the fact that they were in rebellion. And we can see the fruit of that rebellion, and we can say, just like Abraham does, I don't want to do that. And so all I'm telling you is Sunday when we study, when we do this exact reading of the building of the ark, And you see that that ark is resident within you. And you see and know and experientially understand that all power in heaven and earth is within you. Then by definition, if you know that, it's impossible to see the leaven of Herod. It's impossible to have a poverty consciousness. It's impossible to ever be in need and think you're righteous because you're in need. Again, the test of you believing is that you will speak. I mean, it's the breathing in and the breathing out. That's why you command you him, command ye him the things concerning his son. I mean, that's, God didn't want you to command him about, you know, getting pizza. But God wants you to command him about the things concerning his son. That's what we're doing. The things concerning his son, one of the major things is the Ark of the Covenant. That's the thing concerning his son. That all power in heaven and earth is in the Ark. And it typified Christ, which typifies you, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If there's any area of anything that I have said tonight that you don't understand, and understand fully, then command you him the things concerning his son. If you have been satisfied with...
reveal to me
right,
what this is.
Right. If you have been satisfied by... In the past I've preached to you about that. It says in 1 John, the second chapter, that I wrote unto you little children, I wrote unto you adolescents, I wrote unto you young men, I wrote unto you fathers. If you've been satisfied with being the little children, if you've been satisfied at any one of those points, and you've fallen asleep in life, and you're now a 40-year-old, 16-year-old, or a worse, you know, whatever it is, you know, Father, reveal the spots and wrinkles. Show me the fullness of your gospel. It's all command you him.
And then just don't worry about answering all the questions.
Well, because if you have him, if you have the answer, then it's, the questions, I tried to understand. I studied the Bible before I was a believer, before I saw. Well, I want you to consider carefully these things. It's what it means in the scriptures when it says Selah after the Psalm. Don't be afraid. Enter boldly into the throne of grace. And if you see, I don't care if you're on the right list or not, but if you see an area in which you see lack, confess it, because that lack, no matter how hard this might be for you to understand at this instant, that lack that you see is what crucified Christ. And therefore, for you, Christ died in vain. In any arena. And believe me, when you've taken, a lot of you have taken the doctrine of waiting with the Gentile mind. And so you've used it as license. Command you him this night the things concerning his son. See that the arenas in which you perceive lack, if there is any arena, if there's any area of your life in which you perceive lack, this is serious. For you, Christ has died in vain. Important stuff, my friends. Tonight, obviously, a lot of you perceived correctly that I was very hard on you.
No, I never guessed that.
Okay. Now, All I can tell you, and I can tell you this, and maybe this will offer you the hope that you that has to be there, is that without question, for everyone here, some tremendously, some different, that you may not be able to see because you're not intended to look at yourself, but I see the grace of God manifest within you, the evidence of His presence within you. I see it clearly and with precision, and it makes me bubble over in joy when I look at you. And believe me, just rest in it. But rest in it, not in sloth.
Right.
Father, we present ourselves, we desire the fullness of your presence. Praise your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I hate to sound charismatic, but by God in heaven, this night, do a work. Do a work, Father. Transform, renew, energize. Praise your Father. Let the people walk from here tonight and never again be the same. That they're walking in your power, and that power is endless. Praise you. Let every spot and wrinkle be removed. And as we confess the leaven, let it be burned in the fire, and that which we don't see, make it clear. And that which is hidden so deeply, let it be declared null and void as the dust of the earth. Now for Gary. Lay your hands on his head even as we pray. Let the desire of his heart come forth that he would fulfill his office in the body of Christ. Praise you. Let us begin to simply affirm the confidence and the boldness that you've given us by the grace by the death of your Son. Praise God, the price has been paid. No effort on our part is required. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Continue working in ways that will shock everybody here. Not for our sakes, Father, but for your holy name's. We'll give you the glory with her every breath. Praise you, Father, and love you. In Jesus' name.